lamps of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, hear the Savior's, hear the Savior's earnest call. Jesus, the light of the world. Send the gospel, send the gospel truth to them all. Jesus, the light of, we walk in the light, the beautiful light. We walk in the light, beautiful light. Come with the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Oh yes, why not seek Him? You seek Him then today. Jesus, the light of the world. Go with truth, go with truth the narrow way. Jesus, the light of the, we walk in the light, we walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of, King Jesus, the light of, He's the light of the world. Hey, oh yes, Jesus, the light of, we walk in the light, we walk in the light, beautiful light. Come of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of, we'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come of mercy shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the, shine on me, shine on me, shine on me. The light of the lighthouse, shine. Shine on it, let the light from the lighthouse shine. Oh, shine on, shine on, shine on me, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine, oh, shine on, shine on, shine. The light from the lighthouse shine on me.
Amen. In a land of fadeless days lies a city four square. Amen. They will never work again. We'll never have to worry of the things we worried in this earthly pilgrimage. We'll ask for our world to pray after he sings that song. I'm just waiting for brother to find the song. In a land of fadeless daylight.
lies a city, Foursquare. It shall never pass away, and there is no night. Oh yes, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no day, no pain, no fears. And they count time not by years, for there is no night. Yes, they count, and they count time not by years, for there is no night. God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears. And they count time not by years, for there is no. Yes, they count, and they count time not by years, for there is no night there.
There's no sun.
There's no sun. The sun shines bright in that city, Foursquare.
For the moon is there,
for the lamb, he's all the light, and there is no. Oh yes, oh, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears. Gates of Pilale in that city, Foursquare. All the streets with gold are laid in there. Oh yeah, oh yes, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears. And they come. Yes, they count, and they count time not by years. Oh, there is no night there. Oh, the gates shall never close in there. Oh, in that city, Foursquare, where life's crystal river flows in there. Oh, yeah. Oh, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears. In the cold time, not by years, for there is no night. Yes, they count and they count time, not by years, for there is no night there. They need no sunshine bright in that. Hallelujah! Oh yes, for the Lamb is all the light in there, and there is no. Oh yes, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no tears.
Think of that land tonight, Lord. Father, in another song it says, there's no tears that shall stain the streets of that city. Lord, it's our desire tonight, O God, that one of the days, Lord, we may enter through the gates of that city, O God, a place where we never have to sing songs that are said, a place, Lord, where there would never be a goodbye said, Lord, but a place of joy, a place where we would be, Lord, forever with you. how we desire, Father, that, Lord, each and every person that's here tonight would enter into that place, Father. So we pray while we still have opportunity today, Lord, that, Father, we harden not our hearts, but that, Lord, when your word would come, it would help us to prepare ourselves, Lord. For this is one thing you will not do for us, Lord, but that we have to prepare ourselves for that day. Lord, help us, Father, that, Lord, even as we don't know how it would come, when it would come, help us to be prepared at any minute, at any hour, Lord. Father, to be diligent about the things that we do. Lord, to put in the right perspective, Lord, the priorities that we have on this pilgrimage, Father. That, Lord, we may not be swayed to the left or right with the things of this world, but that we may be steadfast, Lord, with our eyes fixed on that prize. That's our desire tonight, Lord. And we have come here with a great expectation. Lord, we are so desiring and hungering tonight, Lord, not to hear so much about courtship and things like that, but that, Father, to be in your presence. For it's such a privilege, oh God, having gone through the week, Lord, and Father, having gone through last week without the opportunity to have a midweek service, Lord, we see it as a great privilege today to be in your house. So I pray, Father, that you speak to us, Lord, that, Father, you would fill our lamps again, that, Father, as we would come home, our vision would be renewed, Lord, oh God, and that our minds would be set on the things of heaven. Father, help us tonight, Lord. We pray for our pastor as he brings the word. Use him mightily tonight, Lord, that, Father, he may be used of thee to speak thy word, and that it may lay the boundaries for your children, that we may walk right, remembering those that are not here. We commit them into your hands. Our brother David, Lord, and his family, we pray for them, that you watch over them, Lord. Father, and all those that are not here also, we commit them to you. May you be glorified, Lord, and bless our song leader. Lead him into more and more songs that bring us closer to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wolf, for praying. And we'll sing, "Where He Will Lead Me," like you prayed, "I will go." Amen. Where He will lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. And I replay my past for me. That He was slain on Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me all the way. He's the truest of friend to me. His divine will is sweet.
Is it? I think these batteries are flat in here. Are there some batteries, Mama? It's a flat.
Song, Brother Will said we must lead. Let's sing that song. What's that song called? Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want... I'm not ready because I wasn't supposed to sing. So the Lord is just leading. Amen. It's key.
Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge, Rock of Ages, Clifford. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be at the dawning treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'd be over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me. All our sinners will be crying forever, never seeing, but the ransom will be singing, rock of ages.
Let's sing the days of Elijah. Amen. We're finishing them.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of God.
See.
Oh, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of trial, of famine and sickness and sorrow, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like a sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, year of jubilee, the night of Zion's hillside. Behold, 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 he comes riding on the cloud at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, year of jubilee, heart of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. Oh, and those are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white as the wool. And these are the laborers' vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, behold, he comes riding on the clouds. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, night of Zion, till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God. Oh, yes, there's no God. There is no God. No God. No God. Oh, yes, there's no God. There is no God. There is no God. There is no God. There's no way. Sun at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Amen.
His father, he's with us, Brother Yaro. So good to be with him. Ah. God bless him richly. And two prayer requests. Brother Maxwell is seeking prayer for healing. He may have to go to UK tomorrow, but it will depend. So let's pray for our brother. Also, Sister Julie is asking for prayer. She has an exam on Friday. So we want to remember the sister as well, that she might have the greater than Solomon with her. Let's open the Bible, then we'll pray. Let's open Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Let's get a thought from there. We have some questions, but we'd like to really try to bring it in a different kind of a way. Genesis 24. Let's read from verse 12. This is Eliezer, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we want to humble ourselves in the presence of your word. We want to humble ourselves before you upon this evening, Lord. Father, so conscious, Lord, whenever we had opened your word, whenever we had opened our mouths concerning your word, of our need for thee. Father, as you said, that you are the vine and we are the branches, and outside of you, Father, we can do nothing. So, Lord, we bring ourselves, both the speaker and the hearers, upon this day. For even as Brother Wilmore prayed, Father, we haven't come here today just to accumulate knowledge, Lord, but we've come with that one desire, and that's to commune with you, that, Father, we may, Lord, enter into that place, that your word may find its resting and dwelling place in us, that, Lord, you would achieve your purpose upon this night. As we pray for our young people, their desires, their questions, their thoughts, Lord, Father, won't you help us, Lord, that you would overshadow that which is necessary upon this night. Let us bypass that which isn't necessary, Lord, that as we'd come to the end, Father, our one great desire, that you would look down and say, it is good. Father, that is our prayer. Father, may you bless our brother who's not well. Father, you see the enemy, Lord, what he's trying to do to Brother Maxwell. Father, we unite ourselves together now. Father, we curse the enemy and all of his works, Lord. We'll ask of you, Lord, just to touch him, Lord. Father, let the same virtue that came from your garment 2,000 years ago, let it minister to the need of our brother. Lord, we pray. Our sister Julia should go for exam on Friday. Father, she's looking unto thee. We can study, we can apply ourselves, Lord. But Father, success, it comes from you. Father, you are the son of prosperity, Lord. You're dwelling inside of your daughter, Lord. I just pray that you'd lead her and guide her. I pray that you'd bring things to her remembrance. I pray that you'd give her wisdom and leadership in the things that she'd study. I pray, Father, that there'd be a good report for your glory. Thank you for our brother, Lord. Sister Verica's father is with us. May you bless him. And Father, bless our fellowship, Lord, even as prayer has been prayed. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, let's be seated. God bless you this evening. Just wanted to continue on. I've got some questions again from the youth. Quite a number of questions, some very, very good ones. But trying to maybe find the best way to approach them. There's quite a few questions. Firstly, about the length of courtship or engagement, which would be a good question, that one there. Practical example of how to approach courtship. What to do during and how to approach engagement in our modern day age would be a good question, that one as well. At what age are we ready for courtship? If you want to approach somebody, should we wait for them to say they're ready, or do we just ask for whoever God shows? You know, so you do need to wait for somebody to show and express a willingness that they feel that's their time of life, or, you know, you just follow the leadership of the Lord. What about sisters that are still studying? Can education affect the courtship process? Good practical question again. And then, what is the best way to refuse someone when you're not ready? Or you don't want to court? That's a genuine question. Because there's not many people who got it right first time, you know. Who thought that the first sister they approached, that was the right one. You find most people had a couple of times of disappointment, you know, so we understand. And it's very important the way that somebody says no to you, because, you know, these are really issues and affairs of the heart. And what are the requirements for a sister to marry a deacon or marry a pastor? For example, if a lady comes from the world, believes the message, has children, can she marry a deacon? That's a very good one as well, because if you feel a calling inside of your life, if you really feel God is calling you to the ministry, now if you want to be a Levite, then you've got to really be a little bit careful of more than others down the line of marriage, because those things obviously have a bearing there. So that's a good question. So I just wanted to get into them a little bit, but take a quote first of all when the prophet is speaking about Isaac and Rebekah. We've read from Genesis 24, and the reason I read from Genesis 24 is that the prophet always uses Isaac and Rebekah as the model for marriage, and the Bible does as well. You know, so if we want to learn the approach to things, if you want to see what really pleases the Lord, maybe Genesis 24, there'll be some things we can glean from there concerning the approach to these things. Because the Lord put this inside of his word, and you know, the prophet speaks about it, how that he would use Isaac and Rebekah always in his marriage covenant. You know, if you go and read any of the wedding ceremonies the prophet took, he would always use Isaac and Rebekah, say, may they be as Isaac and Rebekah. And he says he took that from the old Wesleyan covenant of marriage. And there's a really reason for that. There's something really good in Genesis 24 concerning the approach to these things. And the very first thing I like in Genesis 24 is the sincerity and the seriousness that Abraham gave to the issue of marriage. Amen. You know, Abraham realized that this was something for his son to be married well. In the old Eastern tradition, the father's responsibility from the son wasn't complete until he got his son well married. And only when his son was well married, then he would feel his responsibility, his obligation to his son had been fulfilled because he had found his son a good wife. You know, so you can see from that straight away, like the prophet says, that these are weighty issues. Now we know it right from Eden, where do we have the problems? It's the marriage and divorce issues. Now if there's ever a place that a person can get themselves scrupled up, you know, they're really like a fertile ground for the enemy, someone doing so well before that, it's on these kind of things, the affairs of the heart, because right from Eden, Satan studied and he looked for an opportunity, some way to get in. And he found out it was in this relationship, these relationship issues. And it's sad that that's the case, but it's something which we really need to bear in mind on these things, is that they're blessed things, but we have to really, really enter these things carefully, you know, and we really need to guard ourselves in relationships, because it's a fertile ground for Satan to get in, to pervert, to corrupt, you know, to try to spoil your testimony. You know, there's so many different things that he can do in these things. You know, so I found this article, I think people have read it before, by Brother Barry Coffey. He wrote it years ago, called Conduct, Order, and Courtship. And I just read it the last couple of days, and I really liked some of the points that he raised. So I just wanted to hit some of his points, because they answered some of these questions very well. And then we'll get on doing it together with Genesis 24. But he says, outside of the experience of the new birth, the second most important decision that any person makes is the choice of a husband or wife. Now, friend, that's a serious thing. You're never going to make a bigger decision. If you've accepted Christ, if you're really born again, there's going to be no bigger decision that you're going to make in your life bigger than who should you marry. And you can see that reflected in Abraham. When Abraham called Eliezer, he made him swear by an oath, put his hand under his thigh, speaking of when God dislocated the thigh of Jacob, speaking of the covenant God made with Jacob, said, put your hand under my thigh and swear to me that you will not let my son marry the wrong woman. Yeah, and that shows that Abraham, he realized this is just because this wasn't just any boy. This was the son of the promise. You know, this here was a seed of Abraham. You know, and there was God's purpose, there was God's program stored up in Isaac. You know, Isaac, there was a lot in Isaac. God had a lot of expectation. He was the son of promise. He was to carry on the bloodline. He was to continue on the same covenant that came to Abraham. He was to pass it on to his children. And what was the way that Satan could have gotten here to mess up the work? It was marriage.
Yes.
You know, no matter how much Isaac knew, no matter how well he had been taught, no matter how much he knew how to sacrifice, how to pray, how to approach the Lord, all the things that he had done so well. I mean, we know the character of Isaac. He had two chapters before gone and offered himself on the altar as a sacrifice when Abraham took him up the mountain. And he willingly took the wood and then he lay himself down when his father told his son, you are the sacrifice today. Whatever Abraham had to tell him. But he gave his hands to be bound. He yielded himself. He was such a godly boy. He was such a type of Christ. So when Abraham now looked at this kind of a boy, looked at this kind of a son, he was determined to say no. He can't marry just any kind of a girl. He can't just choose anybody. You know, this is a son of the promise. He needs to have a matching piece. He needs to find somebody like him. He's a precious boy. He needs a precious girl to match him. He's the son of the covenant. He needs a daughter of the covenant as well. You know, so he calls Eliezer, and Eliezer, now he gives him a solemn charge. Now he gives him a strict commission. This was now really Eliezer's adoption now. Now the greatest thing that he'd been given all the days of his faithful ministry as the steward of Abraham, the greatest responsibility, the highlight of his ministry, you could say, was to go and find a bride for Isaac. It was such an important thing. There was so much resting on this. You know, and when the Lord looked down, Abraham, like the prophet says, being a type of God the Father, he had a burden inside of himself. Now, so the first thing when people ask, what sort of age should we get married at? Is when you start getting the burden. Now, because when the Lord is starting to look at you and he's starting to feel burdened about you, you will start to feel that burden inside of yourself. Now, people mature at different ages. You can have a 30-year-old baby and a 20-year-old man. That's the truth. You can find somebody who's 25 years old and he's so immature that to think of that young boy leaving his mother and father's house and going establishing his own house, you can never imagine that. But you can find somebody else who's 19, 20 years old, that their maturity naturally and spiritually, you can see they're well equipped in all aspects. God has equipped them. They're ready now to enter into this great challenge, this great responsibility of moving now into the next phase of life. So, now, there's obviously no fixed age on these things. The prophet does say, marry them young. You know, we shouldn't be trying to push it too long, friends. Especially in this age that we're living, it's a dangerous age. You know, there's just immorality all around us. There's just the flesh on display all around us. It's not an easy thing for a young man in this age to push 25, 27 years old still being single and wanting to keep himself pure and to walk with the Lord. This is an age of great temptation. Now, the spirit of immorality, these are the days of Lot. Now, the spirit of Sodom, we see all of this. This is all around us. It's the days of Noah. Now, when men just married anyone who they chose to marry and so forth. Now, so you would really, really desire, I would desire for my children, by the grace of God, as soon as they spiritually and naturally ready. Now, that level of maturity, and if you want to know that, many times your best advisor is your parents. Your parents will give you a good, honest answer. You know, if you were going to ask them and say, Dad, you know, I'm really thinking about getting married, what do you really think? They live with you on a daily basis. My friend, if you can't pick up your socks and put it in a washing on a daily basis, you know, if you don't even know how to cook an egg, you know, you don't really know how to do much in this life of responsibility, do you think now that you're going to go from there and you're going to run a home? You know, when you can't even organize your own life very well, and now you think you're going to go and get somebody else, and children are going to come on the way, and you're going to have some leadership qualities. You're going to have a leader by example and different things. You know, maybe you're not yet at the level of maturity that you should be. You know, so I think your parents many times, and people that are around you that love you, you know, like the people who do the youth. You know, they're good when you're dealing with somebody all the time on a daily basis. You get to know that person. And a good, honest answer can be a very, very good thing for someone. Now, to put your arm around someone and tell them, son, you're a real, real good guy, but if I were you, leave it a couple more years. You know, unless you're burning in the flesh, because Paul said, unless a person is burning, it says if a person's burning in the flesh, not able to control themselves. You know, it's hard for them. They're high passion sort of a person. You know, this, and maybe they continually just about falling and those kind of things. Well, maybe the father would look at him and say, you know, son, Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. But if you're not in that kind of a category of person, if you can control yourself and keep yourself in college, keep yourself during the days of your studies, you know, now don't rush into these things, because the real burden has to come from the father. It was Abraham's burden for his son. Yeah, when God starts getting a burden for you, you'll start feeling the burden. And the people around you as well will start feeling the burden for you as well. They'll start, you know, trying to encourage you down that way, or start saying, son, I think it's time you really start praying about this. You know, don't try to push your things too far now. I think it's quite a good thing that. So he says that it's a very important decision, because the right choice will bring years of happiness and meaningful experiences. You know, experiences of joy, experiences. You know, you'll have so many good experiences in marriage, in courtship, engagement, marriage. If you marry the right person, I mean, imagine all of the experiences that you've had with your wife, with your family. All of the joy and the laughter, you know, all of the precious things, precious memories you can think back on. So marrying the right person, it really opens your life up to another sphere. No, and there's so many things that can come in that sphere. But then he says, but the wrong choice, on the other hand, can make life most miserable. The word teaches, it's like water in your blood. Imagine the very life of you when you get water in your veins, water in your blood. You marry a contentious woman, the Bible says. You marry the wrong person. You're living together in the same home. You've united yourself together in life with somebody now that's maybe pulling in a different direction than you. Friend, every single day you're going to feel that. Almost every hour of the day, you're going to be experiencing that on an hourly basis. You know, and so these are not a decision that should really be taken lightly. There's a quote here I've got from Mark of the Beast. I found out I liked it. The prophet starts a meeting and there's a minister there, Brother Smith. And he says, Brother Smith, is that your wife? How do you do, Sister Smith? No wonder you're such a fine man. You're such a fine-looking, godly-looking little lady as a wife. He says, they say behind every good man, there's a good wife. Behind every good man, there's a good wife, friends. Because your wife can hold you back big time from what God wants you to be in this life. And you as a husband can hold your wife back big time if you're not the right person. Now, you don't want it to be like that. The prophet says, that's very fine. I know my wife is. If there's any credit to go to the Branham family, give it to her. Because she's the one. She's 10 years younger than I am and snow white headed. Because she's just stood between me and the public. She was such a helpmeet, Sister Mida. When all the people would be parked in the driveways and people would be coming in the house and people would be coming prophesying. Maybe Brother speaks about it. Women would be coming prophesying, if he doesn't marry me, he's going to die, and all these kind of things. And this Sister Mida, knowing the prophet, knowing like his the way that God had made him and the rest that he needed and so forth, she would stand between him and the public. And that so much wore her out until at a young age she was totally gray-headed. And the prophet says, because she stood between me and the public. It says, and I don't know what I would do without her. God certainly gave me a wonderful wife. That's a wonderful thing, Brother Smith. Why? If he could have given a man anything better, he would have done it. So the right choice, when you find God's choice for you, friends, God only has one choice for you.
Amen.
God doesn't have a multiple choice for you. It's not okay, you go and choose. If you don't want A, then go to B. If you don't want B, go to C. That's not the way that it is here. From the foundation of the world, God in his mind, he tied another person, one person's life with yours. That's what he ordained from before the foundation of the world. And we know the conditions of a vision. I always say it. It's the right people in the right place at the right time. This divine plan, the vision God has for your life, having the right people inside of this, vital. So imagine how much more the most important person just about, which is your wife, your husband. No, so you've got to make sure that this is according to the divine vision. And that's why Abraham was feeling this burden of responsibility. Because he looked all around him and he saw it was like our day. Yeah, with the Sodomites, the Canaanites. You know, friends, it's a sad thing to think about. Just somebody was telling me just last week a real disaster over in England when somebody's, you know, a minister's son, a minister's daughter was in courtship with a brother. They thought that he was a brother and he was leading songs in the church. Only to find out the man was a homosexual. And then he went and he raped a young boy at the college and he was in court and he's been put in jail for 5 years. Friend, you've got to pray about these things. You know, you just wonder who prayed there. You know? I mean, to go all that way, to get into that kind of a level of relationship, then you find out that this person is completely not what you thought that person was. Friend, that's why you need God involved from the beginning. Because God is the one who knows the heart. God is the one who knows the future. Now, that sister might have looked at you, a nice, handsome sort of a guy with a six-pack and all those kind of things, but God looks on the heart and knew who that young man really was. And maybe the Lord was saying, if you'll just come and speak to me about this a little bit, now I'll tell you a few things. And yeah, that's what's very, very important. I really do believe. Like Abraham did. And when the commission now came onto Eliezer representing, we know, the messenger of the hour, but in this case, representing the Holy Ghost. He's going to have to represent Isaac here. Now he's representing Isaac. And the moment this commission was put upon him, he became very prayerful as well. He felt the weight of responsibility being put upon himself. And he knew he couldn't do this himself. By himself, he knew he was going to need the supernatural element to be involved right from the beginning of the process. And friend, if there's no supernatural element from the beginning, we've got to have the natural as well. But friends, if there's not the supernatural element right in it from the beginning, be careful.
Amen.
Be careful. You can make a mistake. That's how the prophet says, King Ahab. Yeah, Jezebel painted up her eyes and she fluttered her eyes and his heart went fluttering inside of him. And he said, that's just the one for me. The prophet says, his heart went fluttering. He says, you know why his heart started to flutter? Because he didn't have God in his heart. If he had had God in his heart never would have fluttered for a girl like that. But because he didn't have God inside of his heart, he looked at the outward. And friend, he made the greatest mistake that he could ever make. Marrying somebody like Jezebel. Yeah, it's a sad thing. That's why they say, he says in this article, it's a good thing to say because many times we get embarrassed speaking these kind of things. You know, you find young people, they get embarrassed, you know, They speak 24 issues before they get to the real issue of marriage, you know, because like, people get embarrassed about it. But he says, marriage is natural and God ordained. I mean, this is just a natural thing. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. If you're feeling towards somebody, it's natural. Don't feel embarrassed about that. As long as you go about it the right way. Now, none of us want to be embarrassed, obviously, because we feel, but hey, what if she's going to say no? What if he's going to say no? What if this isn't going to work? Obviously, we're going to feel like that. And that should make us even more prayerful. Now, that really, really should. He says there's everything normal about being attracted to a member of the opposite sex. It's normal. Everything normal about a young man at the appropriate time wanting to work and provide for a wife and family. It's in you. It's built in you. It's part of who you are. It's part of God's process, God's purpose and plan and vision for your life. But I like the key word that he said there, at the appropriate time. Now, there's the season to everything. There's a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. You know, and that really, really comes in. We'll see that as we get along. It says, and also for a young woman at the appropriate time, thinking about the prospects of marriage. A home and children. God absolutely knew what he was doing when he installed these desires in us. But what is important for every young person is that we understand God's will and his advice in making such an important decision. Because like I said, this is where Satan wants to try to get in. A genuine desire, a natural desire. We know Satan is a perverter of God's genuine desire. Now, so he'll really try to come in there if he possibly can. In the message, time of decision, when the prophet speaks of Genesis 24, And that title is the right one. It's a time of decision. We all come to so many different times of decision. Now, he speaks in that message about the decision to accept Christ, but let's bring it to the time of decision. Amen. Like Eliezer had, like Abraham had, like Isaac had, like you and I have at a certain appropriate time in life. It's a time of a decision that we've got to make. So how do we approach this decision? The prophet says we find out that Eliezer decided, though he was a good man, he was on a great mission. He was under oath. It was a sacred, sacred thing that he was involved in. Now, when a man gets to that place, it's time not to use his own thinking. So he knelt down and began to pray. Yeah? And he said, if I go and ask her for a drink, the prophet says, you see, he was asking for the sign of God. He wanted to make sure that God was in the issue. So he asks, he prays first, Lord, lead me to the right place. He comes to the well at just the right place. As he starts to pray, Lord, let the damsel that comes out and offers to give me a drink of water, when I ask her, then she says, let me water your camels as well. Yeah? Then he watched. He wanted to see a sign. He wanted to make sure that there was the supernatural in what he was doing, not just the natural. The prophet says, he committed it to God. Let it be your choice, Lord. Oh, if we could only learn to be a trusted servant of God like that, that we would commit things to God. It's the most powerful thing that I know of is a committal. Commit your ways to the Lord. If you do that, something will have to take place. Because God is a creator. Now it gets to the point. You can put me on record. I've never one time sincerely in 31 years of preaching ever asked God for anything and committed it to him. He either gave it to me or told me why he couldn't do it. Friend, and that's what you want to know. We want to commit an issue to the Lord. Lord, I'm really thinking about this, sister. Now you really want to know, Lord, is this the choice? If you seek him and you commit the issue to him, say, Lord, I want your choice. He'll either tell you, this is my choice, or he'll tell you why it's not your choice. Amen. He will. God is very faithful. He's the God who can open and he can close doors. He says, so as Eliezer believed and committed himself to God, they could have searched the world over. They could have combed through every city, went to every house. They would never have found a better mate for Isaac than Rebekah was. That's a powerful committal, friends. When you really commit this issue properly to the Lord and say, Lord, your choice for me. No matter what, Lord, I want to follow your choice for me. And you approach it with Elias. The prophet says, after committing that to the Lord, you could never have found a better choice than Rebekah for Isaac. And friends, that's what you want to come to inside of your life as well. And to have that confidence, because trials are going to come. Valleys are going to come. Sickness is going to come. All these other challenges are going to come. And you want to know at that kind of a time, this was God who gave me this man. Or this was God who gave me this woman. You want to know that. You don't want to just be guessing that. You don't want to just be thinking that. You don't want to be able to get in a time of trial and you start to question and say, but you know, maybe this isn't the woman that I was supposed to marry. Or maybe this isn't the man that I was supposed to marry. Friend, you don't want a foundation like that inside of your marriage. That gives too much room for the enemy to work in a very sensitive part of life. But you want from the beginning to build it on the right foundation of a real committal to the Lord. But the key to it, if you ask God to lead you, you need to be prepared to be led. When God says no, you need to accept a no. When God says yes, you need to accept his yes. You know, you've got to be able to follow through on this the way that Eliezer followed it through. So on this approach, Barry Coffey says, to begin with, start to pray that God will lead you to the right person as your companion through life. That's the best place to start, is in prayer. You absolutely do not want to get involved with the wrong person. Or a person who's not a true Christian. A true Christian knows the miraculous experience of the new birth. You'll see that as we go along. seek him with all your heart over this matter and accept his leadership. But that's where the problem comes in. Hallelujah. We commit it to the Lord, and then it's maybe this isn't really who the Lord wants us to have, but we want to have that person now. And other people will be advising you, and other your parents will be telling you, and other people around you will be saying, hey, bro, I think you're making a mistake here. But like I said, love is blind. And friend, love is rebellious as well. There's nothing, like we said the other week, it can bring rebellion in the life of a person like this particular issue of life. It can be a difficult one. Seek him with all your heart. Now, the bloodline. Abraham, he told Eliezer, my son will not marry one of these Canaanites. And Eliezer said, this isn't going to be easy. You want me to go somewhere, testify of your son to somebody, and that girl, without ever meeting your son, is going to have to come from her house and come into this land here. That's what Eliezer said. But what will happen if the woman doesn't want to come? Abraham, he says, the same God who called me out of my land and brought me into this message of the hour, he's the same one that'll bring a wife for my son Isaac. And friends, that's what we want. The same way that he says, look, Abraham says, but Eliezer, when God spoke to me, I left everything. And I came into this land of promise, the message of the hour. Yeah? And my son Isaac is that caliber. He's the same kind of a person. Therefore, God has a matching piece for him somewhere. God has a bone of his bone, a flesh of his flesh. God has someone like him. So don't worry about the reaction of that girl, because my God, he'll send his angel before. And friends, you'll see it as you get into the story. The great thing about Rebecca, she could be influenced by the supernatural. Because the angel of the Lord went half an hour before and went and spoke to her, Rebecca, go down to the well at evening time. Friend, you want to make sure you marry someone that can be moved by the supernatural. Amen. Otherwise, you'll be moved by the supernatural in your home, and the person you married was not able to be moved by the supernatural. Imagine the problems that you're going to have. Amen. And that's what Eliezer now is watching now, the conduct. We'll see it. If you really think that maybe this girl I like or this boy, yeah? You start to watch their conduct. Hallelujah. You start to watch their character. You start to watch the way they handle themselves. And one of the most important things to watch is how do they respond to the word? Amen. Because when Eliezer came in the house now and started to testify of Isaac, yeah? Started speaking about my master, the Lord has blessed him in his old age. He has riches, he has men servants and maid servants and so forth. And in his old age, the Lord gave him a son. And the son is to fall heir of all things. Yeah? And my master commissioned me to come now to his people because he's seeking a wife for his son Isaac. Friend, that word, just the word, the message of the hour, it moved Rebecca. Amen. When they called her and said, will you go with this man? She said, I'll go. Amen. Friend, think of that. Amen. Think of how she could be influenced by the word. She's just met this man that same day, Eliezer. He's just coming. He's just testifying. He's just giving a testimony of the word, of what God is doing in that day. And friend, it's so real to her. When they say, look, you've never met this man. You don't even know where he's from. You've never been in that country where they are. She says, I'll go. And friends, that's the sorts of characteristics you want to look at in the life, inside of someone before you marry them. How do they respond to the word? That's the most important thing. No matter how much they go to the gym. Yeah? No matter how big their car, flashy their car is. You know, how much education, you know how they look. Those things are so secondary. But the most important thing is watch them. Watch that sister. Watch that brother. How do they respond to the word? Do they respect the word? Like I said the other week, that sister, that friend of ours, and then the brother came over to visit her and he just wanted to go to all the BMW car shows and all of that. And she was a spiritual sister. She saw about the deep that's inside of this man. All he wants to do is go to car shows. It's time to move on in life. Because if you really feel inside of your life that God moves you and God has a calling inside of your life, God has a purpose inside of your life, you want somebody like that.
Amen.
Somebody can move when God moves you. Somebody that can not always be an anchor to hold you back. When God wants to do something with you inside of your life. Now you don't want to wait until you get in the home to find it out.
Amen.
Eliezer wasn't going to take a chance. Okay, let me take her back. And if it doesn't work, maybe I'll bring her back again. He didn't do that. He wanted to make sure. And he was watching. And this other thing about it, he realized she's an answer to prayer. Because the moment he prayed, straight away she came. And exactly what he had prayed was exactly what she did. And friend, you want your husband or your wife to be an answer to prayer. So you want to make sure, I prayed and God really gave me exactly what I prayed for. Now that's really, really what you want. As a foundation, somebody asking, what's the approach to these things? I'm just speaking of the approach. Friend, realize the severity, the seriousness of what you wanted to get yourself into.
Amen.
Jesus says, before a man goes to war, an army goes to war, it counts the cost.
Amen.
Am I willing to pay this price now? Am I at the right stage now to pay this price? Because in these things, there's no turning back. Many times.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is, once you open that door of your heart, when you're young and you're going through your teenagers, you keep it closed, especially as a believer. The prophet says you, a young woman, she keeps herself for her husband. But once you open yourself up to somebody, it's impossible to close that door again. That's why it's such a painful thing. And that's why now you've opened something up in your emotions. You've opened yourself up in a certain way for the first time to somebody. Yeah, there's that love that comes forth in that. My friend, if you've now made a mistake, that's not the person. You're more vulnerable now than you were before. You're far more of a vulnerable person because you can't close that door again.
Yes.
You know, you've opened yourself up and now you've got to be far more sensitive in those things than you were before. You know, so the old carpenter's rule, measure twice, cut once.
Yeah.
No, measure it twice, make sure before you make the cut because you don't get a second chance to cut a piece of wood. You know, so you want to make sure that you're doing it the right way. So Abraham, the thing that he wanted was the bloodline. Now, what does that mean to us? He says, you must go to my relatives, yeah? To my father's house. Don't marry these Canaanites or these women round and about here. You must go to my blood. Those that have the same genes as me. Now, how do we apply that? Let me take it now from the Message paradox. And let's get our thought from there. The Message paradox is a very powerful message because the prophet is preaching about Joshua spoke to the son. Yeah, and God hearkened to the voice of a man. So he's speaking about real something supernatural. And he reads his scripture at the beginning about from Joshua chapter 10, Joshua speaks to the son. Then he says, I'd like to speak concerning one word, a paradox. Now, according to Webster, a paradox is something that seems incredible, but it's true. It's the same as a miracle. It seems like it couldn't be, yet it's proven true. It's incredible, but yet it's the truth. Those are all the things he says about a paradox. He says, but now people today believe that the days of miracles are past. They don't believe in such things as miracles, but yet I believe the world is full of miracles. I believe the paradox is constantly, that's his words. So he's saying that. Then he says, for instance, I love it in the prophets, for instance, because he's given you a vague concept there, and now he's going to bring it into reality. To say, I believe there's still paradoxes taking place. For instance, I believe that every born again member of the body of Christ is a paradox in themselves. Each one of you, Methodist, Presbyterian, Luther, that never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You in some formal church that did not believe in the genuine new birth has now received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're a perfect example of a paradox. Because something happened to you that changed your whole being. Yeah? That changed your whole being. And anyone could look at that and know that a paradox is a miracle. Unless that happens, you cannot be a Christian.
Amen.
Getting on the bloodline,
amen.
Who should we be looking amongst to marry?
Amen.
And what should be our, we'll look just now at the natural requirements for marriage, but spiritually, where do we need to be spiritually ourselves before we consider marriage? That's what I want to go on here to show you. Unless that happens, you cannot be a Christian. There must be a paradox for you to become a Christian. Because no one can change the spirit in a man and give him new birth outside of God. God alone is the only one can do it. And it's a miracle how that God can take a man's thinking, his ways, his life, and everything and change it from what it was to what it can be, what he can make it. My. Now that's, now he's left it just as a concept again. So he says, paragraph 18, next sentence. For instance. So now he's going to give us an example again. For instance. Now let's look at his for instance, because it's very applicable to marriage. We know this, but let's take it down the line of marriage. For instance, a few days ago, I was called in on a scene of a fine boy who was going with a little girl. Very fine little girl. Out of a fine family. And this boy all of a sudden came up with some kind of idea and he just walked away. All of a sudden. He did something wrong to the little girl. He as much as promised her to do a certain thing and then didn't do it. And instead of coming to the girl and apologizing like a gentleman should do, it just wasn't in him to do it. Right? Now we're going to speak about why you've got to marry from the bloodline. We'll see. He's going to explain it to us. And the father and mother called me on the scene and said, we would desire to know what's wrong with our boy. Now, it's not easy to do sometimes, but you must be truthful and honest. Therefore, the boy was a Christian. As far as a believer, he had repented and been baptized. He had his position among the believers, but yet had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much he thought that he had. And what was the proof? We'll see. He had a nature that he received from his parents. From the first Adam, his first birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as long as everything was going his way, he was a good believer.
Amen.
As long as nothing came to step in the way of his nature.
Yes. Yes.
That certain characters, there are certain traits that were in his genes. But the moment something came, maybe for the first time inside of his life, when he got into a relationship with this girl, and then something took place in that relationship and it challenged his nature that he had.
Amen.
And he didn't have anything in him to overcome his nature.
Amen.
He just had the first birth. Though he's been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a believer, he's coming to church. The prophet was a fine young boy. But he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he goes on to explain it. He says, you thinking you have it and having it is two different things.
Amen.
You might be able to try to say you have, and you might be able to show some evidence of some emotion. But unless your life is vindicating what you're professing to have, you haven't got it still. Now this young boy, he was professing, no, I've got the Holy Ghost, I've got the Holy Ghost. But his reaction to an action, his behavior, when someone stepped on his toes, when something came and challenged the way he wanted things done, showed one thing, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Not to say he wasn't a Christian. And the prophet's going to show us that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the absolute first prerequisite for marriage. A person should never think of marriage without the Holy Ghost. That's the first prerequisite. And you should never think of marrying someone who doesn't have the Holy Ghost if you're a Christian. That's the bloodline we're going to see. When Abraham said, only go to my seed, the seed, yeah?
Hallelujah.
My bloodline, there's now the spiritual seed through the new birth.
Amen.
He was told, go to my family's house. Mm. Now it's the household of faith. Yes. It's the body of Christ.
Yes.
And the body of Christ, you only get in there through the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then you are a member of the body of Christ and friends. Until you're either in the body or that person is in the body, we shouldn't be thinking about marriage.
Amen.
We are not equipped for marriage.
Amen.
And that's why there's so many problems you find in marriages and homes, is this fundamental point that the prophet's going to show us here. So the prophet says that. He says, no matter how many emotions, how much you jump and run, sensation, speaking in tongues, shouting, whatever you might lay it upon, which is all right, I believe in all that too, and we all do. But unless your life copes with your testimony, you haven't got it. Because the fruit of the Spirit vindicates what you are. Just like the fruit in any tree tells what it is. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. A serious thought.
Amen.
Now listen how he explains it now. Now, this young fellow's parents, his mother is German. No reflection on the Germans here, he says. But there's a strain in that family. Do you know what a strain is?
Yes,
it's inbred characteristics.
Yeah.
So there's certain characteristics in each of us that we got from our mother and father. That's the strain we get through the chromosomes, through genetics. Some of us will be stubborn. Some of us just are born being selfish. Some of us were just arrogant. Yeah. Some of us are so moody. Some of us are so touchy and sensitive. Yeah. All of us, the prophet says, it's out of the human grab bag. In Zimbabwe, when you used to go around Christmas time, you'd go to the supermarket, okay, bazaars, whatever. They would have Lucky Dips. Remember Lucky Dip?
Yes.
And you'd buy it. You wouldn't know what was inside of it. You'd be excited when you were young. You'd take it home and there was a whistle and there was all these different things. You didn't know what you were getting. The prophet says, this is the human Lucky Dip.
Yeah.
Your genes. You got some from here and some from there and some from there. Now, God knew what he was doing as well. But friend, this is where our trouble comes in. Because we have a strain. We have characteristics that are born into our first nature. And we're born like that. And friend, you have absolutely no power in yourself to overcome that.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you only have the first birth, though you've had the waters of baptism, though you're numbered as a believer among the believers, my friend, when you get into the home with somebody else, maybe when you're just a single young man, carefree, go to college each day, coming home, going up to your bedroom at night, you'll get away with it. But when you get two people in close proximity in a home, all of these traits are going to find plenty of opportunity to express themselves. Because you might be so selfish. And it's okay while you're living by yourself. But now you're in the home. Now the children start to come. Now there's only so much money that comes in on the pay packet. And your wife, she needs this, and the children, they need that. And your wife says, but please, I need new shoes. And my friend, when now push comes to shove, when it's now the reaction to an action, when the pressure comes to bear on you at that kind of time, like with this young boy, you're going to automatically manifest the fruits of the tree. You're going to be selfish.
Amen.
You're going to be selfish. And every new year, you're going to say, this year I'm not going to be selfish. And you're going to beat the bench and you're going to cry and say, Lord, I don't want to be selfish anymore. But can the leopard change its spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? What's my point I'm trying to say here, friends? Don't ever think that marriage is a remedy.
Yes.
Amen.
For the lack of new birth in the life of a person.
Amen.
Marriage is going to make it worse, not make it better.
Amen.
Marriage is not the cure for these things.
Hallelujah.
Marriage is not the cure. That's why you'll find you'll get somebody in the home not knowing the person has a trait of what? A strain of alcoholism. And after a while, you'll find the wife finds out that the husband's drinking secretly without him, without her knowing.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the strain that's inside of a man. Like the prophet was told by the doctor, by Mayo Clinic. You know, you're an Irish man and your father was a drunk and all those things. You know, so that's why you're so nervous the way that you are. And we take the strain into ourselves and we walk with that all the time. And until there's a paradox, until a spirit that's greater than us comes inside of us, friend, you will never overcome yourself. Because it's not good intention that gets the job done. So the prophet goes on to say, this young fellow's parents are German. There's a strain in that family. They'll just sit. You can talk to them and they'll just stare you right in the face. Stubbornness. Hey, friends. Remember the prophet speaks about going, we spoke about the other day, to the cattle sale with his friend. And there was this nice looking calf. Ooh, and the prophet says, that one, how come it's only $400 and these other ones are $12,000, $13,000? And his friend said to him, Billy, better stick to preaching. Because you don't know anything about cattle. Don't go and look in her eyes. She's got that wild kind of a stare inside of her eyes. And he said, and that wild stare, you let her loose in the paddock there, she's going to run herself lean. And she's going to give it to her children. He said, you'll never get anything good. But he says, but come and look at this one. It looks smaller. It doesn't outwardly look as impressive, but look in its eyes. It's gentle. It's got eyes like a mother deer, sort of. He says, that one will give milk. And that one will be a mother to its children. And that one's children's children's children will continue on with that same characteristic. That's why many of these things, we're victims, friends. We're victims. We inherited these things. He says, they'll just stare you right in the face. He says, I've gone down the street many mornings and the young lady will be sitting in the yard. I'd say, good morning to you. And she'd just look at me. And I'd stop and say, sure is a fine morning. She would just stand, look right at you. An intelligent woman. And I'd say, come up and see her sometime. And she'd just stand and look. Her brothers are that way. Her father and mother is that way too. Hey, my friend, you need to pray before you marry. You'll end up marrying someone like that. And your father-in-law will be like that. And your mother-in-law will be like that. You don't want it to be like that. So that's just the mother's side now. That's half of the boy's problem. But that's not the full problem. Because the father of the boy is strictly an Irish man. Moody, high-tempered, highly strung. That's his whole family like that. Except the one out of the family who's converted. He says the mother's family, they live close up here. They're near a fine church. But you think they'd ever come go over there? They know that it's right. But it's just not in them to ask for forgiveness. To ask for pardoning. They just won't do it. It's not in them. Now he explains it. Now the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, it still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy's got a complex in him. You will not commit suicide, soldier boy. The prophet said he had a complex. Imagine a fine Christian wife. Yeah? Fine children. And go and find out that the husband's committing homosexual acts with young boys. Friend, you know the mistake that she made? She didn't marry someone who was born again. She married someone who was religious, but he wasn't born again. That's a sad thing, friends. And imagine you're in the home and you only start finding out about these complexes and these strains and so forth when you're in the home. Yes. The prophet says, therefore the boy got a complex. Just like from his mother's family. Not forgiving. They'll not apologize. That's where the boy stands. He comes to a close. He says, now, I said to the father, no matter how much you've raised him up. Friends, their parents had done their best. They brought him, he respected the Lord. They brought him to church. He was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outwardly, he was a fine young boy. The parents have done as much as they possibly can for this young boy. The prophet says to the father, look at your family, drunks, fighting, shooting, cutting each other up and so forth. And I said to the mother, look at your family. They just won't speak, very independent, irreverent to religion. But I said, but that's not in you. You're the only one of all your sisters and brothers. You are sweet. You are kind and forgiving. What does that? You're part of the same family tree. Friends, we're part of the same family tree. But you received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because now when you receive the Holy Ghost, you belong to another family tree. You're the seed of Abraham. Now you've got the faith of Abraham. You've got the love of Isaac. You've got grace in your life like Jacob. Perfection like Joseph. Now you've got a spiritual genetics that comes in now. A certain strain, certain inherited characteristics. You believe the word. Yeah. You repent when you do things that are wrong. So now these two family trees. Yeah. So in the Old Testament, Abraham said to his servant Eliezer under that covenant, only go and marry from my family tree. That's the old covenant. Under the new covenant, you can only marry from this family tree.
Amen.
The family tree of those that have been born of the Spirit. That's the family tree. Don't allow my son to marry anybody else.
Amen.
Apart from this family tree here. That's what the prophet's showing there. The prophet says, you're part of that family tree, that you've received the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. It's not your people anymore. It's your Christ that lives in you.
Amen.
And I said to the boy, the father, look at your family, drunks and so forth, moody, high-tempered, but you're not. You're kind and forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You know more what you are. It's Christ in you. I said, now, that's the same thing has to happen to your son. And friends, that's why you need to really observe someone before you get into any thoughts of getting in a relationship. If you're really serious in your walk with the Lord, if Christ is supreme to you and you want to serve him and worship him all the days of your life, this has got to be the first thing that you
Amen.
Look at. Is he really born again? Is she really born again? And friend, the only time often, or most of the time that we really know these things, is when there's a reaction to an action. And things don't go right. You accidentally stand on somebody's toes. Let some misunderstanding come. Now let some misfortune happen, or let something go wrong there. And then all of a sudden you see a reaction inside of a person that you never expected to see. And then you wait and say, but no, maybe they'll come and apologize. I mean, maybe. But it's just not in them to do it, the prophet said. Shh. That's what he said. That's what the prophet says. It's Christ in you. And the father raised up and said, my son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ. I know my son has come to Christ. And I said, that might be all right, all the outward emotions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers, but until he is regenerated, until he's born again. Now the key, I would advise that young man to never marry a woman. He'll make hell on earth for her. But imagine now, you just look at somebody's outward appearance. You just look at their bank balance. You just listen to their sweet talk. And you get yourself past the point of no return in a relationship with a person. And then you find these things out in the home. I've seen it, friends.
Amen.
I could tell you horror stories here of believers who got married, and then when they married the sister, all the sister wanted was to marry. Then the husband comes home one day, and there's the sister wearing trousers in the house. And he says, "What are you doing wearing trousers in the house?" I said, "You don't tell me those. I don't really believe the things that you believe." And now he's already married to that woman like that. Friend, I know so many stories like that. When a person followed their eyes, they never followed the leadership of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have that ability when they were seeking the Lord to look at the unseen and esteem the unseen above that which is seen. But Rebecca had the character so she could look at the unseen. She'd never seen Isaac before. She'd never seen the promised land, but she could make major decisions based on the unseen. The unseen realm was so real to her. She could make decisions and she matched Isaac because Isaac could go and lay himself on the altar. He never struggled and fought with his father. And that's really what you need, is a matching piece inside of your life. But if you're a hypocrite, carry on. God will give you a matching piece. If you're Ananias, you're going to find Sapphira. You know, you'll find it like that, but you don't want it to be like that. You want it to be an Isaac and a Rebecca. A marriage which is made in heaven. He finishes off the prophet, says, "I would advise that young man to never marry a woman. He will make hell on earth for her. Until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in. Until then." That would be a paradox in itself. To take the very nature of a boy that's bred between father and mother, yet in his intellectuals, he's trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. He'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, he's already overcome then. Ah, friend, that is the key. That is the missing element many, many times when you find these stories and troubles in the home. Because no matter how sincere both people may be, it's not sincerity that's enough. Amen. No matter how religious, it's not enough just to be religious. Friend, to overcome the strain, because you're going to have that strain in you, even if you're born of the Spirit, your flesh still has that strain.
Amen.
But you have the great overcomer in you, that when that strain wants to exert itself,
yes.
And sometimes in a when you're low in spirit, it'll start to manifest itself. But then there's another spirit that comes up from within. And as you yield yourself, the great overcomer comes and puts his foot now on that strain. And you'll go back and apologize and move back into the sweetness of Christ and continue moving on with the Lord. And friend, to me, when I was reading this these last few days, I said, out of all the things we can advise to our young people, we can speak of a lot of different things. But friend, this is the keystone of it all. This is the answer to it all. Because if you're genuinely born again, you will have discernment of spirit to know. Yeah. Listen to what Brother Barry says, just as we finish off. He speaks about observing. Like I'm saying, Eliezer, he observed. Before he did, he watched Rebecca. How does she respond? Is she sacrificial? Would you mind giving me some water? Okay, I'll water your camels as well. Then he's watching like it. Will you go? I'll go. Then he started to see these characters and said, but my. Then he asked, what bloodline are you from? I'm from the house of Bethuel. Praise be to my God, the God of my master Abraham. He's led me. He saw all the spiritual characteristics in the fruits of her life. And she knew this is the real thing. This is something that God has ordained. When you feel an attraction towards someone, watch from a distance. Don't just jump in, friend. Don't just jump in because the blood's hot. Because the chemicals are starting now to move. No, be careful. A lot can be learned from observation. or in a group setting inquiring about her from others in a very nice way. You know, what is she like? You know, how does she spend her time? You know, you try to find out, friend. Do your homework. It's very important for you to do that. Find out who this person is. Is this a godly sister? Does she have that wild stare in her eyes? Is she running every boy in the country, or are her purposes more serious? How long has this person truly been serving God? Are they really serving God? Are they really serving God? Or is it they come along because their parents come along? You know, they're just coming along because, you know, of some other circumstance. At this point, proceed with caution. And ask the Lord to lead you like Eliezer did. Yeah? Before anyone starts talking relationship or expressing your innermost feelings, you should be asking the Lord to help you to know His will about this person. It's not the end of the world if you decide this is not the person. Learn to give yourselves time to think and to pray about what should happen next. Yes, he makes a joke. He says, that does not mean mouthing a quick prayer as you bolt across the church parking lot after service. But if you get a chance, talk to her in a casual setting outside of church or within the group about general things. But try to learn as much as you can about the character of this person. Friend, that is the prerequisite.
Amen.
The other things we won't have time to, we'll get onto them another time, but of age, of your natural preparations, those are important, but they're secondary. Because you can put all of those things right, and if you don't have this essential element as the keystone of this relationship, all those other things aren't going to mean very much. But friend, if you get this right, if you have the great discerner inside of you, yeah, you'll know. You'll know an uncertain sound.
Amen.
You'll know and see, but no, this is something I don't understand. Let me just wait upon the Lord. And the Lord will manifest it after some time. And you'll say, okay, Lord, it's not time for that now. And then you move on. Let's finish with this thought here. Let's not forget the five musts. The prophet says, in ever trying to do a will for God's will or finding out God's will, you must always have five musts.
Amen.
We'll close with this quote. Trying to do God a service out of being His will. Notice that in following God, he says, I want you to jot this down in your mind. To keep God's commandments, to do anything right for God, there's five musts to do God's service correctly. No matter how sincere a man may be in doing it, these five must be there. First, it must be his time to do it. It must be the right time. That brings us to the question about, look, if you're looking at a sister and she's just entering into a five-year university course, and you're quite a high-passion sort of a guy, it really wouldn't make much sense at that time. Are you going to be able to wait? Are you going to be able to not spoil your testimony? By opening your heart, opening yourself up in a relationship to somebody, and then maybe having to wait quite a number of years, if that's what it's going to take before you get married. Or maybe you've just started off on a course, and you're not going to earn any money maybe for the next 4 years. Is it really wise? Is it God's time, do you think, at that time? The first must is find God's time. You know, it doesn't mean that's not the right sister. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to marry, but the prophet says it's got to be the right time and the right season.
Amen.
So even when you're moving into that time, that sphere of life, you're moving into your late teens, early 20s, but is it the right season within that time? You know, I think it's something just to ask yourself. No matter how sincere, it must be his time. Secondly, it must be according to his word. That's how we're saying, come and speak to us. Maybe we know something that you need to know. Maybe there's something not according to the word. Yeah. Maybe there's been something before, or, you know, it's some complication that you don't know about. But in order to do God's service, it must be according to the word. Keep to his word. Follow the order of his word. If you really want to do something or find out the will of God. The next one, It must be given according to the person that he has chosen to do it by. It must be the right person. You know, so it's the right time, that's what you need to find. Is it the right season within that time? Good. Is this according to the word? Yeah? If it is this the right person? And then the final one, he says, the person must be vindicated. Is God vindicating this? You read Genesis 24. When Eliezer came. My friend, the way people blessed Rebecca at the end of that chapter is amazing. They all blessed her. It says they blessed her. They said, this is of God. Who can stand before this? You know, if you're really in the will of God, if you're in the center of His will, you're going to find people are going to vindicate that. The pastor's going to be happy. The deacons are going to be happy. Your friends are going to be happy. Her parents are going to be satisfied. Your parents are going to be satisfied. You're going to receive a blessing on the things that you're doing. The prophet says, if this is the will of God, this five must, the fifth one is, it must be vindicated. God must vindicate this. And God vindicated it right from where Eliezer got there. Bringing Rebecca there at the right time. Making her answer his prayer exactly. Taking him to the house. The parents accepting. She making the decision to go. Her parents agreeing and saying, this is the word of the Lord. Go with our daughter. Friend, that's the way that you want to approach these kind of things. You wanted to seek God's blessing from every aspect. And if you can keep those five musts, the time and the season, is it according to His word? Are you not breaking His word in the things that you're doing? Yeah? Finding that right person, you will find that God will vindicate it. And as you walk in His order, the great vindication especially comes on your wedding day. Because God gives you a capstone. His presence will come down. God will bless you on that. People will sense and know and discern inside of themselves, this is of God. This wasn't the workings and doings of man, but this originated from God. And I'm sure every single one of us are still single, we desire that. I'm so grateful for our wedding day. We had how the Lord blessed it. I'm sure Brother Will could speak of his, and Sister Julie, Brother Ellie could speak of his. Different saints, when God leads you in these kind of things, it's such a blessed thing. Friend, there may be certain things you have to hold back. Maybe certain decisions you need to make, we'll look at them another time, to keep yourself from being tempted and so forth. But friend, it's worth it at the end because you lay everything in place and you watch His dynamics comes down and God blesses it. He blesses your home and He's there when you need Him each step of the way. I'm sure we desire that. Let's stand, saints. Let's just bow our heads, saints, as you ask Brother George to come so we can sing a song. And I really wanted today just to stress very much one on that one of paradox. Because I see that. I see that.
Amen.
Yeah, and friends, we're not speaking of some concept here that the prophet was just vague about. You know, I was reading again this week of Brother George Smith's testimony when he came to Sister Rebecca and he met her at school and he had been observing and seen her character, how she wore dresses when the rest of the girls would wear pants and all of that. And then he approached her. He was a Baptist boy and he approached her, asked to go out with her. And then she said, you need to speak to my father. And he was a respectful young man and he went to the prophet. And, you know, the prophet really observed him for a while and said, it's okay, you know, you can go out with my daughter. And then after a while, when he wanted to get engaged to Sister Rebecca, 1965, he came to the prophet and he says the prophet was very nervous as well. And the prophet was talking and talking for about 2 hours. And George Smith said, finally, I stopped him and I said, Brother Ram, I'm enjoying what you're saying, but would you mind if I could marry your daughter? And Brother Ram says, by all means, Brother George, you can get engaged. But don't think of getting married until you receive the Holy Ghost. And they got engaged and then Brother George went down. And we know the story with Perry Green and praying in the church and how the Lord came and His presence came in such a powerful way. And Brother Ram then phoned him and said, Brother George, I'd like to congratulate you. Just received the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And then they got married early 1966. But it really shows, friends, the prophet, they say he so much was strict with his children about that. He was very strict on the terms and conditions of marriage. Because, why? Friend, we're supposed to marry the seed of Abraham. If you're desiring mercy on this, just on the altar of your heart, Why not lay it before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to help me, Lord. I see things inside of my life, Lord. If I was living in a home with somebody else, how would I react to these things? If I'm selfish like this or stubborn like this when I'm single, Lord. Oh, Father, in this time of preparation, as a season and the time I can sense or drawing near for me to move into this next phase of life. Father, as I'd be thinking of making natural preparations. Firstly, Father, I want to focus on my spiritual preparation. I want to make sure that the sweet, forgiving Spirit of Christ is dwelling inside of my soul. Because, Father, I'm going to need you under that. Whatever your desire. Ask Brother George to lead us in one chorus. Let's come to a short time of prayer before we go from this.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and, oh, trust and obey, trust and obey.
Let's pray, saints. Let's just put ourselves before the Lord. Let's pray for Brother Max, that the Lord will touch him. Pray for Sister Julie for exam on Friday. Let's pray for the weekend coming up. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, Father. Just bringing ourselves up unto thee at this time.
Lord, Father, for these gracious and Lord, Father, blessed words that, Lord, Father, you've allowed us, Father, to hear this day. Oh God, Lord, Father, it's not, Lord, precious Savior, just, Lord, Father, a word for, Father, Lord, young single brothers or sisters, but Lord, Father, is directed at us as well. For Lord God, Lord, though we may have crossed, but Lord, Father, there's still that life, there's still, Lord, Father, oh God, the hidden life that we, Lord Savior, need to live. Father, Lord, you bless and help us, oh God, Lord, that this word, Father, oh God, though, Lord, many would not have been here today, that, Lord, Father, would have desired or would, Lord, Savior, Father, would have suited to hear this word. But, Jesus, we ask, oh God, that you, Lord, Savior, Father, make way, that, Lord, Father, this word would get to them, oh God. For, Lord, so vital, so, Lord, Savior, Father, important, the principle behind this paradox, oh God. Father, Lord, of the new birth, oh God. Father, we ask in your grace today. We ask in your mercy, Lord, even upon this time, Savior. Father, Lord, desiring, oh God, that, Lord, Father, may we, Lord, Savior, from this place, Father, oh God, produce fine young men and, Lord, fine young sisters, Lord, that would, Lord, Savior, build, oh God, good, righteous homes, that, Lord, Father, would raise their children, even in the same way, Lord, Savior, God. But, Lord, Father, when we look even at our father Abraham, Father, oh God, Lord Savior, how he married, Lord, how when he met with thee, Father, when he had his experience with thee, Jesus, oh Father, Lord, he met with, Lord Savior, the great, oh Father, El Shaddai. Then, Lord Savior, he had a different conception, Lord, he had a different understanding to what marriage, oh God, Lord, and he desired, Lord Savior, good things for his son Abraham. We ask in your grace, oh God, lead us and guide us, Lord, even upon this day. Give us, Lord Savior, even as, Lord Father, you've allowed for us, oh Father, to not only hear, but to be partakers even of this divine nature. Father, you've given unto us, Lord, even in this last day, Lord, this blessed word, this blessed assurance, Lord, this blessed message, oh God. And we, Lord Savior, by our lives, have to, Lord Savior, transfer, oh God, this, Lord Savior, word. Father, lift, Lord Savior, to our young, oh God. Let us be, oh Father, good influences, Lord, and not negative influence, but let us, Lord Savior, live a life, Lord, that they, Lord Savior, may, Lord Savior, be attracted, Lord Savior, to the word, Lord Savior, God. We ask in your grace today, dearly beloved Jesus, be merciful, Lord Savior, God.
that, Lord, Savior, Father, from this word, from this, Lord, Savior, church, may we, Lord, Savior, see, Father, five young men that would go on, Lord, Savior, Lord, and do their things upright and straight. We ask in your grace, Lord. We ask in your mercy, Lord, even upon this time. Father, you lead us, Lord, and you guide us, Lord, Savior God. Lord, Father, that we, oh, Father, would always be even about your business, Lord. Father, spreading your gospel, Lord. If not within, Lord, Savior, oh, Father, the local church, but, Lord, Savior, Father, searching out, Lord, Savior. Father, them that we lost, Lord. We're thinking of our brother Maxwell tonight. You know, Lord, his situation. Oh, Father, is there no healing, Lord, Savior? In thine, Lord, Savior, courts. Father, we are asking your grace. May you touch him, Lord, even upon this hour. Give him, Lord, Savior, that deliverance, Lord, even upon this time. That, Lord, Father, may he, Lord, Savior, Father, oh, Jehovah, be, Lord, Savior, completely delivered, Lord, Savior, from whatever the ailment is, Lord, Savior. That, Lord, Father, you'd be glorified. That you, Lord, Savior, would be, Lord, Savior. Father, oh God, that is always, Lord, Father, given us, Lord, Father, that we desire. Bless and heal my brother. Give him strength, Lord, we pray. Oh, Father, brother David, Lord, his family, Lord, we commit them unto thee. Father, you touch them, Lord, undertake, Lord, Savior. All them that have not made it this day, Father, undertake for them, Lord, Savior God. And let this word, Father, not just, oh, Father, return void, but let it return, Father, with hearts aflame, Lord, with hearts that are truly, Lord, Savior, surrendered unto thee, living a life, Lord, Savior, for thine, Lord, Savior, grace. We commit all unto thee. Bless us and guide us as we part. You part with us, oh God. Grant us the mercies that we require, Lord, even upon these roads. We thank thee for your goodness and your kindness. Be glorified amidst our lives. Provide those things we have. We ask in Jesus' name.
Just ask, Brother Wilmore, please, can you close for us, Brother?
Our Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we are most thankful tonight, oh God. Father, you never disappoint. Whenever there's a great desire in the hearts of your people to hear from you, you always speak, oh God. And I'm thankful tonight, Father, that, Lord, your word has gone forth from this pulpit. It was you that was speaking, oh God, and you have raised, Lord, thy word, and you have shown the standard, Lord, that we are to walk with, Father. Lord, it is not a grievous yoke, Lord, but it is even for our protection. It is a glorious thing, and how I desire, Lord, Father, that, Lord, each and every young person in this place, Lord, may look to it in that way, that, Father, you have given this standard because you love your people. You are trying to keep them, Lord, from the wiles of the enemy. For we realize how the enemy comes in these matters, Lord. So we pray, oh Father, that you be merciful tonight, Lord, and help those that are entering this stage in their lives, oh God, that they may look to these things and consider them. Let them not be hearers only, Lord, but that, Father, they may take this word and that it may do something to them, oh God, to help them navigate this part of life. Lord, many of us, Lord, we can look back to the times when we walked in this part of life, oh God, Father, and how it helped us, Lord, and it has kept us from many troubles, Lord. But we also see those that have made mistakes in this part of life, Lord, Father, and how a heavy price they are paying even until today, oh God. But I'm thankful, Father, that you love these your children that are here, Lord, in giving them this word. It's a precious word, oh Father, how some people would pay millions to hear these things, but you have given freely, oh God. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, you have men that are still willing to hold to the standard of the word. I pray your blessing, Lord, upon our pastor. I pray your blessing upon the brothers in here, Lord, and sisters that are believing this word, Lord. Help us, Father, not to be afraid of the modern trends of this life, Father, for all these things will come to pass, but only your word will stand, Lord. So help us to believe it. Help us to stand on this word. Help us to build on this word. For, Lord, we don't want to build in vain. We don't want to build upon some idea, Lord, or some thoughts, oh God, but only on the word of God. And this has been the word of God. help us tonight, Father, even as we go, remembering, Father, even our brother Maxwell, I pray for him, oh God, believing, Father, that you have done something for him, Lord, to heal him, to strengthen him, for the enemy is trying to put him in a corner, but Father, we refuse the advances of the enemy. We do not accept this package. We are sending it back to hell, Lord, and we are only believing on the health of our brother. May you strengthen him, Lord. If it be thy will, let him stand on this pulpit, even the very next service, Lord, that you may use him again, oh God. Father, for the enemy is trying to raise his head, but we refuse, and we walk in faith, Lord, believing that you have done a mighty thing for our brother. May you strengthen him, Lord, even all those that are sick tonight. Lord, may you touch them also, and those that were not here, Father. Lord, I pray that you give them, Lord, a portion, Lord, that they may, oh God, receive of this word also to help them and their children. We thank you, Father. Bless us as we go. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, remembering my wife also in exam on Friday. Father, may you help her, Lord. Amen. Father, oh God, that we may hear a testimony, Lord, of your grace upon her, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the things you have done for us, Lord. We glorify thy holy name, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Since, let's remember, Friday, we had moved it from last week to have consecration on Friday. Let's come for prayer Friday evening. Pray for the Lord's blessing on our purposes and plans, that his will may be done. Let's be like Eliezer. Let's come and commit our ways to the Lord. Let's look to him that his angel might go before. God bless you. Godspeed as we go in Jesus' name. Let's sing as we go.
Oh, trust and obey. Oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. To trust him.